Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to give you guys a really great example of what I was talking about, I think, just yesterday. So when I was telling you guys about my own complex PTSD and the sort of unique situation and confidence versus low self-esteem, and I talked about the town I came from and the sort of the enablers of my particular toxic upbringing, so sort of the kind of outside enablers and how they have like bad manners or they're rude and this and that. Well, I have a perfect example because this literally just happened this week, and I was just informed about it by somebody close to me of an exact scenario. So I wanted to give it to you because I thought, wow, that's just what I was talking about on my podcast. So I've told you guys that in my situation, I refer to the person who abused me as my primary abuser, and then there's the enabler of the abuser, right? So if you think logically, or you think, you know, what would make sense here is the person enabling the abuser probably struggles themselves with low self-esteem, and that's why they're accepting the abuse of the abuser, or they're also, you could say, a victim, and they're maybe afraid of the abuser, right? It all is very similar. But there's also, I would say, lack of self-respect going on with the enabler. So, in regards to that, a scenario happened, and I've told you the sort of outside enablers of my situation are people who didn't speak up, right? They're people who you grew up around, and these are some of the people who I have referred to as maybe being in a cult. And that's just an aspect of it all. It's just part of it all. Just happens to be part of it. And I'm not saying they're cult, but if it is a cult, I'm not saying that's why they're like that. I'm just saying they happen to be in that. And it could be part of why they are the way they are, but not necessarily, because I've known other people who are in the same group and they don't act like this. And I've also told you that the people, a town that I came from, was very cliquish, and part of that clique mentality, it's almost like when people's behavior doesn't make sense and they leave you out, or there's like this kind of rudeness or the dismissiveness. I'm going to give you this great scenario. So there is a very specific tie between, meaning a connection, between the person who is the primary enabler of my abuser. There's a very specific tie between that person and one of these other people who is like an enabler who's sort of outside everything, right? And I would say this person, this who I would describe as rude, reminds me of some of these people on that show I told you guys about, that Southern Charm show, right? So a scenario happened where, that I was just informed of a couple hours ago, where this person who is this way is rude. They basically did something in the realms of telling my primary enabler that they could have access to a lake house. It's a lake house that has been in my family. It's sort of a family, a friendly, a visitor kind of a place where all these different people go, and it's a lake house. And we've always just we've always had access to it, and you just, you know, you go and you make a plan to go, and sometimes it's rented out on like an Airbnb type thing, and sometimes it's not. And currently for the 4th of July, it is not already being rented out. Like, it's not already set up to be rented out. And this person who I would describe has these qualities of like this sort of dismissiveness or leaving you out or this rudeness, they did something that's just a great example of all of that. They told my primary enabler that, you can have it for the days when it's not the 4th of July, because we want to hold it for people who are going to rent it. But nobody's rented it out yet. And this is a place we've always had access to. It's like, you know, it's just a family friendly, bring your friends over, blah, blah, blah. If it was already booked, okay, it would already be booked, right? But that's not the case. So basically, this person is trying to say, okay, we want to stay there. Since we've gone there our whole lives, we don't pay to go there. If we wanted to pay to go there, we would just go somewhere else. This is something that's been a part of like our family, you know what I mean? We're not going to pay to go there. It's all different in a way, but it's just the fact that, you know, it's not already like booked. And so this person is basically saying, we don't want you to stay there at certain times, is pretty much what they're saying. And it's rude, right? It's like bad manners. It's sort of like dismissive. I would say a normal person who doesn't have an extremely long history of being really rude, a normal person would be like, of course, yeah, we don't have anybody staying there. We'd love you to be there. Come on in. It's not a big thing, right? But they're making like a situation out of it. And it's making it uncomfortable. And it's making it almost like trying to push you out. And this person's been this way forever. And when this, somebody who was close to me told me about this today, and they're like really pissed off about it, and they think it's a bunch of BS and everything. And I said, and you know why they're doing that? Because they're rude. And they were like, oh yeah, they're rude. They're always rude. They always do this, and they never cease to amaze me with their rudeness. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why they're like that. I said, well, you know, maybe they're ignorant too. Maybe they're actually oblivious to how rude they are, which means maybe they're ignorant. And they were like, this person I was talking to was like, well, don't give them a break. They're like, I don't know if I would even say that. I think they're just openly rude. And I was like, well, they could be, which would actually just be a sign of an insecurity. You know, it's like they're territorial or something, this rude person. But this is an example. This is a perfect example. And see, it's my primary enabler who's not speaking up for themselves in this situation. And this has gone on for decades, where this rude person who's sort of on the outside, sort of on the inside, the outside, like they see everything. They're always around. But this rude person just keeps on being rude. And my primary enabler of my primary abuser, my primary enabler just gets walked on because they have low self-esteem, right? They don't speak up for themselves. And they're the same way with my primary abuser. They don't speak up for themselves. And I grew up with this, right? This is all a part of a complex PTSD. This is all what it's like. A lot of times, like, let's just say this could be your father or your mother. Let's just say you have one parent who's, everyone is always says, Oh, your mother is a saint. Oh, your dad is such a saint. What a sweetheart. And the dad puts up with this nightmarish wife. And the nightmarish wife is the abuser, right? Let's flip the script. Let's say it's a dad, and the dad is an absolute big baby monster, because they're a big spoiled baby, and the mom is the enabler, and everyone's like, oh, your mom is such a saint, and they always use that word, a saint. It's like, no, she's not a saint. She's being abused. She's being emotionally abused, and you're watching it, and you're not doing anything about it. You're just saying she's a saint. But it's that same thing. It's, you know, you grow up with this, and that same parent that might be the sweetheart guy or the saint mom, they get used by people. It can go both ways. It could be a man or a woman. I've seen plenty of men who are absolute. People always refer to them as such a sweetheart. Oh, he's such a nice guy. What a sweetheart. Then people walk on him, you know. He does too much. He does too much for everybody. And occasionally you might hear him gripe, but not too often. But, you know, he just does so much. And then people ask him because he almost acts like he enjoys doing it. And maybe to a degree he does. He likes helping people. But it just gets pushed to the limit, right? You know, and for when it's a woman, it's like she just never speaks up for herself. And she just doesn't complain. But she's also not standing up for herself. So she's lacking confidence, right? And she just doesn't want to rumble anybody's feathers, you know, because, oh my gosh, you know. But it's that. So I think that's a big feature within complex PTSD if you grow up with it. This is something you see a lot. So this is a scenario that recently happened that I was informed of. And I thought that's just what I was talking about on my podcast. This sort of rude, kind of like the girls from the movie Carrie, that rudeness. People will be rude and mean to you if you let them walk all over you. They'll just do it. But if they notice that you're confident, you know, they might try to keep doing it, but you don't want to let it bother you or get under your skin. And my advice, if you can, is just to get away from them. You know, and it'll eventually catch up to them. You know, this, you are not the only person they're doing this to. Because this person that I'm describing who was rude, like, it's a woman, and her own kids are sick of the way she acts. Like her own kids, right? Who are my age. They don't know why she does this stuff. And she does it to them too. You know, she does this to them too. But they actually speak up for themselves and she still does it. And I'm like, you know, you just got to get away from them. This is one person who I did get away from. I don't talk to them anymore. Because some of the way that she responded to the event that I talk about, I was like, see ya, you're scary, because she enabled this person to stay with somebody who got beaten up. And I was like, okay, you're a quack job, gotta go. And I'm not around them anymore. And they're rude, right? Bad manners. It's a sign of like an abuser. It's a sign of a narcissist. It's a sign of a person who's just self-centered, or something's wrong with them. I don't know. I don't know what it is, and I don't care to figure it out. I just know what they're displaying before my eyes and how they're acting. And if they're going to be rude and have bad manners, I don't have time to be wasting with them. And I also said this to the person that was telling me about all this. I said, you know what she's doing? She's wasting your time, because she's playing these little weird games, and it's a waste of time. A normal response would be, we would love you to come to the lake house and stay, right? Of course, right? Yeah, come and stay. Nobody's going to be there. Nobody's rented it out. Come on and stay. There'll be somebody who will rent it out some other weekend. The 4th of July is not the end of the freaking world if nobody rents it out. And if nobody does rent it out, nobody's going to be there. So yeah, of course, you would want people to come and stay, because that would make sense. But this person who's rude does not make sense. they only make sense in their own little mind. But they don't make sense to anybody else because they're just wasting our time, right? So I just wanted to give you guys a great scenario. And a lot of it goes back to the primary enabler in my life lacking confidence and lacking self-esteem. Same for them putting up with the abuser, right? The person who's lacking the self-esteem and confidence is a huge part of the equation. Huge. Like I described that Frank and Susan scenario, Susan, in a way, is the problem. Like, Susan needs to go and get some confidence and self-esteem, because that narcissist is only able to feed off of her because of that lack of self-esteem and lack of confidence. So yeah, Frank has his problems. He's constantly spilling the beans and all that stuff I discussed. But in this case, that it was Susan who's just enabling it and allowing it to keep going on and on and on and on. And like, we have to get self-esteem. We have to. And I told you, I've only recently started developing this in the last literally 3 weeks, actually realizing that low self-esteem was a big part of my problem and building this resilience and confidence. And the sooner you do it, I mean, I feel amazingly better. I have to say, I feel amazingly better just sharing certain things with you guys that I might not normally share. I just feel confident. It's a weird goodness. It's a good weird, right? It's a very different feeling. It's a very different feeling to actually be thinking of, like, wanting to ask people, like, do you want to go out and play golf? You know, do you, like, me wanting to collect coins and actually learn about them and just value the ability to learn about them and then collect as I go and not do it for monetary value necessarily. That's part of it. But, you know, just do it because it's something interesting. Like, you can learn about history through coin collecting. I never really looked at it that way. I just looked at it always as, how much money can I get out of it? Like, that was usually how I looked at it. Cause whenever I think of coins, I think of money. Like, that's usually where my mind went. But it's the low self-esteem and lacking confidence is such a big part of all this. And I never really saw it that way again, until I read that book, The Novel Cure. So, there you go. I just want to give this scenario because it's such a perfect example. And I literally just been talking to you guys about that. So there you go. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.